I'm Paul Wiegraf, director of the Delaware Division of the Arts, and your host for today. Joining me in the studio today is Heidi Sarver, the director of the Fightin' Blue Hen Marching Band and professor of music at the University of Delaware. Welcome, Heidi.
Thank you, Paul.
So glad to have you here today. I'm looking forward to this. As we talked offline, my high school experience as a marching band member, this is going to bring back a lot of fond memories, I'm sure. Tell us a little bit about yourself. You've been with the university, I think, since 1995. Is that right?
That is correct.
What brought you to UD, and how did you get involved with the marching band?
Boy, it's a long story, but the crux of the matter was there was a job posting, and I was teaching at Temple University at the time, looking at starting my doctorate, and saw the job and figured, what's a videotape in the day and a couple pieces of paper and got nothing to lose. I was the assistant there, so it made sense to start looking for a full-time gig. And that's pretty much how it played out in a short little nutshell. I just took a chance, and next thing I knew, I was moving to Newark.
Now, did you do your studies at Temple?
No, I actually did 2 years at Penn State and finished my degree up at UMass Amherst.
Okay.
And then stayed at UMass and finished my master's degree in performance there.
Okay. Oh, which is why you said you were in the blue band at Penn State for
a year. I did one season with the blue band. Okay. And then it just, you know, it's like a lot of students find out sometimes where they think they want to go is not really where they should go.
Right. Now, the reason we're talking about the Blue Hen Marching Band today is because you have an upcoming event, which is a first, I believe.
It's a big first, yeah. We've got invited to be the feature band at the ABC6 Dunkin' Donuts Philadelphia Thanksgiving Day Parade, and we're in crunch mode right now trying to get ready for it.
Which is huge. Now, let's back up a little bit and talk about marching bands. This is the first time I've ever had this topic on the show. Tell us a little bit about how a marching band works. How do you get your musicians recruited, and then what kind of training do they go through? I suspect for the regular football spectator, they have no idea of what work goes into that 5 or 10 minute halftime show.
I agree. I think, and certainly we've spoiled our crowd over the years. There's just an expectation for the band to come out of the gate ready and raring to go. But it's a long, arduous process. And it's actually underway right now for 2016. We're reaching out to students that are applying to the university that expressed interest in continuing being in marching band. So obviously what we want is the student that has done this in high school, and they need to be able to play their instrument with a sense of upper high school level performance. We certainly don't want anybody out there just holding an instrument that makes it's no fun for anybody.
Right.
Once they get accepted to UD and they decide to come, they come down for a day in June. These would be the brass and woodwind players. And they go through an audition process. Percussion does another audition process a little later. Color guard and twirlers do their audition process. So we have separate days for that. We accept them to the program. And then they show up to school anywhere from 9 to 11 days prior to the start of the academic semester. Mm-hmm. And we have band camp. Mm-hmm. And that is 8 o'clock in the morning until 10 o'clock at night, getting ready for that first football game, which traditionally seems to be that Thursday before Labor Day weekend.
Now, in this band camp, this is where they're learning the music, they're learning the routines, the movements on the field. What kind of an artistic team do you have for
great?
Between the choreography on the field, the music on the field, the flags, all of that.
It is a team. It's the best way to think about it. It's a team of professionals. It starts with Jim Ancona, who's our assistant director, has been with me for all 24 years. He and I decide pretty much what we want to do. We come up with a theme. Maybe it's a word, and it evolves. We're already looking at 2019, and I won't give anything away yet because it could change. Mm-hmm. Once we have an idea and we select music, we pull on board a music arranger for the brass and woodwinds, Last number of years has been Michael Klesch, who's known throughout the drum corps world with Crown, and his roots were back with the old Garfield Cadets. He's one of the prime arrangers for drum corps. Michael and I went to grad school together, so we know each other in that way. He will write that. That will go to Jim. Jim will write all the percussion, so all the drums you see on the field and all the percussion on the front. Then that will all come together. We'll go to Sarah McAdams, our color guard choreographer, and Dina Frank, who's our twirler instructor. And together we will come up with what we want to happen when. Then it all comes back to me, and I glue myself to a computer and write dot after dot after dot of the entire show. So this year's show, as an example, came in at somewhere between 50 and 65 pages of drill. Okay. And then we'll layer other things on top of that once we get it out there. So it's pretty crazy.
Now, what are the logistics in teaching the students the routines? Do they learn music first, and then they learn the marching, and then you put it together? Or how does that work?
The answer is yes, all of the above. The ideal approach is to learn music first, and we'll learn it separately. Percussion will go to percussion land. I will take the brass and woodwinds. Color guard and twirlers are off there. They're working with an MP3 while we're learning notes. Then we will go out on a field. So it's a typical day of band camp, a typical block of band camp. The night before, we'll learn the first three-minute tune. The next morning, we will go out and learn all the pages of choreography and drill that go with it, anywhere from 12 to 18 pages, 20 pages, depends upon the tune. That afternoon, we'll have sectionals to reinforce music. And then that night, out of the heat, we will put music and drill together, literally 8-16 counts at a time. Go back, do it again, play the music, do the drill, put it together, rinse, repeat. Let's do the next segment. Let's add it on. And it's just a constant systematic machine approach.
So by the end of your week or 8 days of band camp, do you have a halftime show put together?
We have a halftime show and a pregame show put together.
Wow. Now, how many, because you play for several home games each year, do you do multiple halftime shows throughout the year? How does that work?
Yes and no. I think to the average halftime person, on any given year, they'll say they've seen maybe three separate shows. A lot of that has to do with the extra events that we have. You know, we have Band Day come in. We have Twirler Day on another one. We have Alumni Band on another. So we'll do, for those three events, we'll do a tune, and then we'll learn some stock rock and roll charts or something extra with those other groups. Post game, after football, is kind of like going home and watching your movie again that you love so much. We will repeat, and it's no different than taking the theater approach to things. Like, how many times have we all gone to see Phantom or Wicked at this point because we love the show? And it's a different audience. Or you rewatch a movie and you see something different you didn't see the first time. So we will approach it that way so that the band creates this understanding of what it is to pull down that invisible wall between them and the audience and to reach out and pull them into the show. So to answer your question, we do one full major show, which is anywhere from, I'd say, 12, 13 minutes in length. Then there's another encore tune, which is about 3 minutes, which we can plug and play anywhere. Then we do work on a second shorter show, depending upon what the football schedule lays out for us. And we just try to do different Tetris fits together to create as much variety for the halftime audience as possible.
Okay. Now, after your halftime performance, do you go back to your office like the football coaches do and watch the tapes of the
performance? I do review film. I do indeed review film. I feel like a coach. There are times I feel just like Danny Rocco. You know, and I'll be honest, it's not my office. I go home. I go home, I put the headphones on, I sit with the dog, and I put it on the 27-inch monitor, and I go through the show multiple times so that we can prepare what we need to hit to get better for the next time.
Do the students ever, does the band ever watch the tapes?
They do, or? Not as much as I would like for a variety of reasons. To, you know, moms and dads will put that camera, phone camera video up there on the internet, which drives me a little crazy because it's not the prettiest angle. But we do send them, we have an extensive student staff that helps with teaching. They will see videos from time to time, particularly for preparing for the college show that we do up in Allentown. It's a big festival. So I go home, take notes on your own sections, and let's work as a team to prepare this. And that happens earlier on. The month of September, we do a lot more of that. Once we get into the semester, they're buried in exams, they're buried in classes, and it really just comes from the professional staff.
Well, I want to take a turn to look at the types of students that are involved, but first let me remind our listeners that you're tuned into Delaware State of the Arts here on News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV. Our guest in the studio today is Heidi Sarver, the director of the Fightin' Blue Hen Marching Band from the University of Delaware and a professor of music at the university. Heidi, the students, how many are involved in the marching band and the color guard and you know, all of the accompanying teams each year, and what do the students look like? I mean, how many are music majors, you know, that sort of thing?
The average size of the band will go anywhere between 275 to 320. That's where we've been since 1998. It fluctuates due to natural attrition, students not coming back to UD. Music majors who finish their two-year requirement don't want to be back out there again, which is perfectly acceptable. And let's face it, some kids find other things they want to do, and it's like, I've had enough. But we've maintained that average for an enormous amount of years, which is great. The makeup of the band, back in the day, you know, go back 20 years, I would have said that 85% are non-majors. I'll put us as high as 92-93% non-majors, most of them coming from the College of various engineering degrees.
Interesting.
You know, we attract musicians tend to be very strong in the sciences, and we certainly are reflective of that. You know, music majors are there. They only have a two-year requirement for their degree program, the music ed students. Many of them do stay for all 4 years because they recognize the benefits of what it's going to do for them in the job force.
Now, do non-music majors get any kind of academic credit?
Everybody gets one academic credit for the class.
Okay.
The other thing to point out, every year I do a double check on the majors that are actually representative across the university. And this year we've got 91 separate majors represented. So it's a true microcosm of the entire University of Delaware.
Now, for the students that participate, is there a lot of return year after year? I mean, clearly some, I would imagine as they get into their junior, senior year, there are other academic demands and strains on their time.
We see the fall off between sophomore and junior year, which I think most universities do. But our rate of return on average is very high. I'll say as high as between 60 and 65%. Using that as an average, I work very hard to bring in a minimum of 100 to 125 first-year members every year to offset the loss that we do have. So if you've got 125 freshmen, anywhere between 60 and 90 is how many I've graduated as seniors. That's a pretty large percentage that maintain all 4 years.
Yeah. Now, we were talking earlier about the band camp and prior to the fall semester. What's the time commitment? What does a schedule look like during the semester for these students?
Once band camp is over, and it's a relief for everyone, present company included, because you just eat, sleep, and breathe band. Band is considered an academic class. It's not considered a club, and because of that, it meets 3 days a week: Monday, Wednesday, Friday, from 4 to 6, and that's it. Before a home football game, we'll have a dress rehearsal, if you will. Every college band in the world starts 5.5 hours before kickoff, as crazy as that sounds, but they've got to get down to the stadium. We have a 2-hour rehearsal, quick lunch, get dressed, and begin the parade through the parking lot, perform at the president's tent, all the different pre-game events. But it's a lot of time. There's no question about that.
Yeah. Now, associated with football games, does the band ever travel to away games?
We're still trying to work that out. We were hoping to go down to Richmond this year, and then we ran into a little bit of a snag with Richmond itself. So that did not occur. We're in the process of putting together a portion of the band to go up to Stony Brook So there'll be about 60 or so there that we have seats for. So we'll do that in a pep band capacity. Since the 2019 schedule was just put out yesterday, I'm sure I'll be talking with Chrissy Raywalk soon about what we can do with next fall and see if we can bring the whole band somewhere. But the days of bands traveling, nobody's traveling that much financially. It's really hard.
Well, speaking of traveling, you're going to be heading up I-95 in a few weeks. Let's hear about the upcoming ABC 6 Dunkin' Donuts Philadelphia Thanksgiving Day Parade, the UD Fightin' Blue Hen Marching Band's premiere debut with the parade.
Absolutely.
How did you get connected with them, or them connected with you, and what are the students thinking about this opportunity?
You know, for a number of years, we've been sitting around, you know, Jim, Sarah, Dean, and I sit around and talk. And it's like, there are things that what have we done? What haven't we done? We haven't done Macy's yet. So that's on the short list. And what great way to attract Macy's, but let's take a look at the local, the oldest parade in the country's history.
Mm-hmm.
This is Philly's 99th. And it's a matter of sending in an application that goes into ABC TV, as well as the company that puts on the parade, which is Under the Sun Productions. So we did that. And yes, it's no secret. The president of that company I've known for going on almost 40 years, Todd Marcacci. And immediately he was like, I would love to have you in this parade. I've wanted to have you in this parade for years. Let's do this. What do you think about being the featured band? Like, let's do it, Todd. I have no idea what that means, but let's do it. And that's kind of how it all evolved very, very fast.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is something different for the students participating, because
yes.
I would imagine Thanksgiving weekend is a weekend that some kids would typically go home.
Yes, it's a little challenging.
Uh-huh.
They're starting, fortunately, to get excited about it now. Next week, we'll start working on all the music. We finally have 2 weeks with away games. So since we have nothing coming up, it's all parade-focused now. And there's a little bit of a buzz about it. Students that live far away, I was just talking to actually one on email before we started the interview. You know, his home is Chicago. It's like, go home.
Mm-hmm.
Because we finished that football game against Villanova, mm-hmm. and then we don't see him. It's like, go home. It's okay. You can miss this.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, I'm sure he's fighting with his parents on that,
right.
But whatever needs to happen will happen.
Yeah, because, I mean, having been being a marching band person when I was in high school, marching in a parade is you configure your
different.
Ranks differently than you would out on the field anyway.
Absolutely.
Right?
So we have to learn a whole new routine.
Right.
We have to learn a whole new parade block.
Right.
Because I don't want it to just be what we do through the Delaware Stadium parking lots.
Right.
We need to intermix and mingle so this sounds good for TV.
Right.
So all that's going to start on Monday.
Well, let me ask you this. What makes the University of Delaware's marching band, how is it similar to other college marching bands, and what makes it unique?
Every college marching band is representative of their institution. So that's the first thing. You end up comparing, you know, apples and giraffes when you start looking at them. And as an example, there's us, who follows more of a drum corps approach, more of a Broadway production approach, where we will do repeats. There's Penn State, which both of us are alums mm-hmm. of to some degree, mm-hmm. Which is still doing the high step style, a full different show every single home game.
Mm-hmm.
There's the historically black colleges and universities, such as Grambling and Southern and Del State, who are doing more of a show band style, a whole different animal that and approach to the marching band activity. And if you were to put, let's just take us, Del State, and Penn State in the same stadium, you really can't compare. We're all unique.
Mm-hmm.
So for Delaware, I think in our general area, it's more of what the high schools in the suburban areas are doing. So it appeals to those students that apply to the University of Delaware,
mm-hmm.
and they make that connection as to what they've done with their high schools,
mm-hmm.
more so than they would necessarily Penn State or Michigan.
Right. One of the things that always fascinates me about marching bands and music programs is how they really serve as an ambassador for the institution. Is that in the back of your mind when you're out there performing?
Always. And we talk about it. I talk about it to the students. You know, you represent this university in everything that you do, whether you're wearing a marching band uniform or wearing your T-shirt. People look at that, and depending upon what you do, they will then say the whole band is like that. So think about what you do and your behavior on a negative and a positive. Mm-hmm. For the whole band, yes, they are a visual ambassador. They're a face of the university. There's no question about that. And being in the Philadelphia Parade will, you know, bring people's attention to UD, I think, in a way that they don't necessarily think of mm-hmm. or are aware of.
Mm-hmm. Now, we have a couple minutes left. I'm curious. How have you seen the role of the marching band evolve over the last couple of decades?
Role as in
in terms of the function it serves or the challenges you face?
I don't think it's changed much with regard to its purpose. Mm-hmm. We're there to support the football team, period. Mm-hmm. And let's face it, this last Saturday was awesome. What a fantastic win. And as excited as the team got, then the band got more excited and we're feeding off each other. It was incredible. Mm-hmm. And that is our role. The other role then is the same that it's always been, preparing music education majors to become band directors. Mm-hmm. I think the bands have changed based upon the economy, based upon funding, how much travel they can do, how much travel they can't do, how much outreach they can do. I think that ebbs and flows with the times. Mm-hmm. And it could be different at any given point based upon those issues.
And I would assume the music selections have dramatically been changed.
That has changed. And again, that's unique to schools. Penn State does not have a front percussion ensemble. And I'm not picking on Penn State.
Right.
It's just
sure.
a commonality between sure. us. We do. And that's the drum corps model. And mm-hmm. we've gone full electronic at this point. Mm-hmm. So we can take samples from original pieces and overlay that and create a whole different level of excitement.
Well, best luck to you and the upcoming Thanksgiving Day Parade in Philadelphia with the Fightin' Blue Hens Marching Band. It's been great talking to you, Heidi.
Thank you, Paul.